Now ask the expert on News 95.7. Your chance to talk directly to the movers and shakers. Here's Dan Allstrand with some inside information and knowledge that you can't get anywhere else.
Good morning and welcome to the Saturday 17th edition of Ask the Experts. I'm your host, Dan Allstrand. Now, before we start this morning, our thoughts, of course, with the affected families along the Little Salmon River under the Lake Major Dam this morning. Here's the very latest that we have from the city. This came out literally about a half an hour ago. Emergency maintenance work is now underway on the fish ladder adjoining the Lake Major Dam just outside of Dartmouth. Expected to continue until about 5 o'clock this afternoon. Crews are placing large rocks at the base of the dam where the fish ladder is, and then they're going to reinforce it by filling it in with more rocks. Now, Halifax Water doesn't expect any disruptions to their water service while the work is going on, but of course, as that precautionary measure, they've evacuated about 135 homes. Two evacuation warming centers set up for residents. One is at the East Preston Community Center, and the other is at the City Heights Church on Main Street in Westfall. Food's there. They've got some buses laid on for the church site for pets, if your pets are cold. But they have to be in a cage. All of this information and more is available on the halifax.ca website. And if you have any questions about it, the city is asking you to dial 311, to log onto their website if you can at halifax.ca, or follow them on Twitter at Halifax Water and at Halifax Gov. We're very pleased to welcome to our studio this morning, now that we got the business out of the way, from Ridgeback Basement Systems, our good friend Corey Mosier, and special guest star Jared Christensen. Gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning, Dan.
Tough for those people in Lake Major this morning.
Yeah.
It's awful. Let's hope that everything works out all right and nothing happens and they get the work done. Corey and Jared are here to answer your questions about wet basements and those nasty crawl spaces. Remember, these guys are experts on everything basement-y. The numbers to call, 1-877-801-8255. The other number, of course, locally in Halifax, 402-405-6000. If you want to get your question answered, they're here to answer your questions for the next half hour. Let's begin sort of by telling everybody what it is that you do.
Well, Dan, actually, just to recap what you're saying there, we are experts in all things basement-y. We work with homeowners, property managers, inspectors, and real estate agents on a daily basis to solve wet basement, nasty crawl space, and foundation structural issues in the home. So we do outside excavation, but we also have lots of inside strategies as well. Like, we got waterproofing systems with the best sump pumps on the market. We've got internal trenching systems that these have even been featured on TV shows like Bob Vila and Ron Hazelton and things like that. We got waterproof floors. We got waterproof wall systems.
So you guys really are the experts in basement stuff.
Yeah, that's for sure. You know, we're not the same crew that's out there shingling your roof and building your kitchen and now attempting to do something in that nasty basement environment. This is what we're in every day, especially Jared. He's out there digging through those basements and solving people's problems.
Now, in the past, we've talked about sort of ways to mitigate issues. We know you mentioned off the top foundation digging and doing the internal attack on things. But a lot of people out there, particularly in older homes in the Halifax area, have dealt with water before, and they have the proverbial sump pump, I'll call it. Now, I remember a story during the first big storm we had in the fall about somebody that had a sump pump in their basement and thought that they were protected. They said, all right, you know, I've got the whole sump dug. I've got the pump in there. It's the right cubic inches per second or whatever it is that they use to measure it. But they didn't have a backup, and the power went out. The pump didn't work. Is there a solution to that, or do you have to get a generator? Did they make a system that protects you in case the power goes out? Because quite honestly, whenever we get a storm in Nova Scotia, the lights usually go out.
And Dan, that's when you need your pump the most, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, if your wet basement is there and you think, all right, I got my pump, and then all of a sudden, you know, the lights are out. What do you do?
You call us. First thing you do is you call us, and we have integrated pump systems that incorporate a battery backup system into the pump system that you have in your home, so that when that happens, you're not running around looking for a generator, calling your neighbor looking for the generator to help you out. You've got it there. It kicks in automatically. Lights go off, bells and whistles tell you what's going on. There's a charging system that's monitoring the battery and the activity in the system. So, you know, not only the power going out, but you could have somebody in your house painting a church like they were in Lockport. It had one flood. That was bad enough. The guy came downstairs to do the electrical, turned off the breaker for the pump. Guess what? Pump doesn't work. So this will tell you the power's out for whatever reason.
Does it have an alarm? Is it audible? Does it send something to your phone? How does it work?
It's audible, yeah.
So it's constantly ringing so you know there's an issue.
There's a series of beeps that system will let you know what's going on because it also monitors the condition of the battery. Over time, the battery, you know, it's like a car, it's a huge car battery for layman's terms. And after, you know, if you've got 5 years in your car and it's minus 20 out starting the car, after 5 years, you know, the thing's going to look at that and go, hey, beep, beep. You need to look at the battery, or beep, 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 we're running on battery backup power.
Now, do you have to charge that battery? How does that work?
System comes with a control module, sits on the wall, nice bright LED battery lit up so that it tells you what's going on, and it's part of the system.
Go ahead, Corey.
Yeah, and just to expand on what Jared's saying there as well, we have a lot of homeowners that believe that they can just go out and buy a generator.
That was my next question.
Yeah, but you know what? You got to be home to start that generator. So if you're off vacationing or you're just out visiting a neighbor, or I know personally, there's a number of nights or mornings that I've woken up and saw that clock blinking and flashing. The power was off. I didn't have a clue it was off.
So it's added security. On the subject of pumps, you know, there's a segment of the population, and I'm holding my hand out there, say, well, you know, I could just get in the truck this morning and drive down to my local hardware store. They got all kinds of pumps there. I could just grab one that looks good and stick it in there. But there's a formula that you guys use to determine, you know, sort of size of pump, how much water it pumps out. Is there a one size fits all, or is a sump pump something that needs to be sort of tailored to what your situation is?
Some of the places that I'm looking at have two of our largest pumps installed because they have, you know, they're sitting on a lake, for example. That's a lot of water. So we do have different capacities in the sump pumping ability. So there's ones with there's half horsepower, there's third horsepower. We go over that with the homeowner based on every situation is different. So when we go in, you know, we look at homeowner X versus Y, they're going to be different, and we can make recommendations specific to that.
So it is really sort of an on individual basis.
Yes.
This is not a sort of just go buy the first one that you see at the cheapest price and you're protected kind of
well,
thing.
Well, I'm working with homeowners. We could talk for 4 hours on this every day. One of them I'm working with right now is a person trying to sell their home. And we have a sump pump, open pit, Canadian Tire Special with the pedestal stuck in the bottom. When you look down in the pit, it's mud and dirt and debris. And so 12 feet to the left, there's another open hole that they decided to poke in the foundation. So we have all kinds of pumps that we put in. We want to make sure that they're put in at the right depth, the right spacing, covered, completely sealed, sometimes with a battery backup, sometimes without. And again, it depends on what the homeowner wants. We can make a solution that adapts to their.
Corey, you and I were talking last week about the ails of having a wet basement, and there's a number of them, but one of them is of course, the mold situation, and that is of a concern for many people out there because of the health concerns that are associated with that. Having a sump pump that's not doing its job, has 3 feet of mud stuck in it or a kid's toy stuck in it, probably is contributing to bad air in your basement.
Yeah, for sure, especially as Jared touched on there about those open pit styles. And in our business, we see, I guess, a couple of different kinds of mold. It's pretty simple. There's visible mold. That's the mold you can see. That's that fuzzy stuff, that moss-like growth on drywall, wood trim, or framing. But what homeowners don't necessarily see is the mold that's hidden behind, I'll say, wooden structures, that's in behind that drywall. And both Jared and I can share a number of stories that we've opened up within that home or basement, opened up that drywall, removed the first layer, and pulled back on that insulation. It's been nasty. We'll just leave it at that. And unfortunately, all that mold contributes to that nasty air that you're talking about there.
And you were talking last week that a good or a significant portion of the air that we breathe upstairs comes from the basement. So you're breathing that stuff in.
For sure. Up to 50% of your air from your main floor, main living area comes from your basement. And when we talked about mold, you know, there's a few things that, just to share it with our listening audience, there's a few things that I'll say constitutes mold growth. And one of those is water and high humidity. And whenever we work with our homeowners, we try to keep that humidity level around 55%. Now, I'm not saying that the minute it goes above and hits 56 or 61 or whatever that magic number is, that instantly you're going to get mold. No, you're running the risk. You're creating an environment that is susceptible to mold. And mold also needs, I'll say, food. And what I mean by food is an organic material. And some of the things I touched on earlier, like drywall, paper, cardboard, and probably a lot of your listeners out there can relate to this, that the wood, or if they had cardboard, an old cardboard box or something like that that they were using for storage sitting on their basement floor, of course, that's absorbing the water, and now it's humid and moist, and all of a sudden, you just lift that up, and it's loaded with that fuzzy, gross mold.
Not very appealing, particularly if you're eating lunch. 1-877-801-8255. That's 1-877-801-8255 is the toll-free number. 902-405-6000 here in Halifax. If you have a question about nasty crawl spaces, wet basements, these are your experts. Again, 1-877-801-8255, 405-6000. Maybe Jared can answer this. You're in the basements every day. How prevalent is mold? Is it a serious issue?
It is. There's a lot of people that don't understand, and it's amazing when you start talking to people about. Again, I was in a house this week, and I went down to the basement, and they had been flooded. And you know, there's some simple things that we always try to do. We do an inside inspection. We do an outside inspection. Some of the things are simple as, you know, the rain gutters on your house. Do you realize that those should be, you know, 10 feet away this way, pointing down? People don't know that. Another thing that people don't realize is, as Corey mentioned, the food source for the mold. Well, I know you have a wet basement. We're going to do our best to fix it. But in the meantime, you might want to consider taking everything that's in the cardboard boxes, which is a huge food source. Put it in Tupperware, for example, you know, and just reduce the risks of all this happening.
Or just fix the problem.
Well, yeah, that's along with fixing the problem, because what happens, there's two stages to it. In many cases where you have a wet basement, you have to fix the water problem, but the water is leading to humidity. So when we put our systems in, another neat feature of them is there's actually places built into the system to drain your dehumidifier automatically, no touching.
And we talked about dehumidifiers last week. Yeah. Normally in a situation where you have a high humidity basement and or a water problem, the go down to the corner store $150 dehumidifier that you forget to drain and turns into a block ice is just not going to do the job.
No, they're just not powerful enough, Dan. And I mean, there's more to it, to a dehumidifier. Like we sell basement air systems, more or less, and that sucks all that nasty bad air out of the air. It recycles positive air, good air, and again, it'll take out a monster amount, 129 pints of water on a daily basis out of the air.
So that's an awful lot of
yeah,
water.
Compared to your stereotypical store purchased, say, local hardware, a lot of those, usually around 20 to 30 pints. So this is like a dehumidifier on steroids.
We need to stop down for our first break here on Ask the Experts. When we come back, Corey and Jared are going to talk to us a little bit about foundations. Where did that crack come from? Maybe we'll have an answer for you right after this.
You're listening to Ask the Experts on News 95.7. Now, here's Dan.
Go, baby, 11:47, this is Ask the Experts. Our good friends from Ridgeback Basement Systems are here, Corey Mosier and Jared Christensen, here to answer your questions. If you should have one, 1-877-801-8255, 902-405-6000 if you're locally here in Halifax. We were talking earlier about mold and wet basements and high humidity. Chatting with people during the week last week, you know, that have basements and they're say, well, you know what, I really don't use it. It's just down there for storage. All I do is just, I got my washer and dryer down there. They're up on cement blocks. I've got everything 3 feet off the ground in case it floods. Why should I worry about it? Why should I worry about it?
Well, Dan, you know, mentioning about, I guess what you were just saying there, there's another whole aspect to that, and that's gaining usable space. I'll just give you a simple example. We worked with a homeowner a few months ago, and that homeowner was purchasing storage space with one of the local facilities here, and it was costing them $300 a month. So the annual spend, do the math, is $3,600. Now, what we were able to do, this gentleman here had a nasty dirt floor, one of those really wet ones, and humidity. So we were running into structural issues and things like that. He just couldn't use the space. Actually, our bill to that individual is $4,000. So realistically, you know, saving on the storage paid for having his space, and he gained way more usable storage. He also gained a lot of energy efficiency and created that un-nasty environment now. So one of the big things is get it fixed and use it.
You're paying for it. You're paying A to store things, but B, you're also paying for that space. It's part of your house. You're paying to have it. Why not use it?
For sure.
It just makes a lot of sense. Another question I get is, maybe I've got a trickle. Maybe I've got a little bit of a run of water, but, you know, it was minus 16 when I got up this morning. With the wind chill, it was like minus 25. Maybe I'll just put it off until the spring because, you know, you really can't do anything about it. You can't dig in this kind of stuff. What's your response to that?
Well, typically, this problem isn't going to cure itself. I think we all know that. And typically, the problem is not going to get less expensive. It usually gets worse over time. So we always suggest fix it now and definitely fix it with us. But one of the things where it's, I'll say, minus 25 out there is that 9 out of 10 of our jobs nowadays are solved on the interior instead of outside excavation. So with our inside strategies, our guys are nice and warm and cozy, and we can still work through. Even though they do some outside work, don't get me wrong, but being inside on a nice or a nasty minus 25 degree day is much better.
And we were chatting off the air during the break that the ground may be frozen, but 4 feet down, it's still thawed and still running.
I love my basement for that reason. In the summertime, it's always cool. In the wintertime, it doesn't get that cold. I mean, you can leave the heat off in my basement. At zero, it would be probably 10 degrees. Okay, that's not comfy, but
yes,
it's not froze. So, you know, when we walk into people's basements and they say, it's just a basement, we can go to town on that. I mean, you might have a basement with a dirt floor. This is where you're going to gain storage space. We have options for clean space, which makes that dry, comfortable. Use it for storage, tramp on it, 25-year warranty. You don't have a foundation, that's fine. We can fix all those problems. If you do have a foundation, it's a different one, right?
Foundations. Just take a look at the forecast this week, right? We've got minus 14 this morning. Tomorrow it's supposed to be 4, up to 7 degrees on Monday. There we go with the Nova Scotia freeze-thaw cycle again, right? That plays havoc on your foundation. Is there a solution for that? Do you have to dig my house up?
Yeah, let me just back up there for a second,
sure.
Dan. You know, 90% of the time, it's soil. And just to share with us, and probably a lot of our listeners are aware of this, we have a few different soil types here in the Maritimes, but one of the most common ones or types of soil is that clay soil, and it's really tough. And the problem with that clay soil is when clay is wet, it holds water and expands in size. Now, when it's dry, like the summertime, it actually shrinks. So this summer in particular, there was 10 weeks of dry weather. Now, even though we're a wet basement company, we were extremely busy on foundation issues because that soil is shrinking. So really, simply stated, let me say this. When the soil below your home can no longer support the weight of your home, then the settlement occurs. And that's, I guess there's a few causes there, like drought, maturing trees, you know, there's heavy rains and flood conditions which lead to poor drainage. And even on start of building a home, there's that poorly compacted fill soil. So a lot of that settling, sinking, or sagging foundations is really created by soil.
And that's not just on new construction, is it? That's on houses that have been around a long time.
Yeah. You know, settlement actually is more associated with older homes. There's even a report out there, and it shows that about 15% of new homes are settling and things. So that would mean, you know, the majority, the balance of that would be older style homes.
Now, is it a big fix? I mean, now you're talking soil underneath my whole house. Do you have to dig out my basement? Is it a big job to do to fix this kind of problem?
Well, I say it's a fairly easy job. However, my colleague Chris, who takes care of our production side, he says nothing's easy. So there's solutions, and that's the big thing that we want to express to our listening base, is that we've got many different types of solutions. There's a lot less expensive solutions than knocking down your foundation walls or putting your home up on jacks and tearing down every wall that there is and rebuilding a foundation. So we deal with bowing walls or those settling foundations. And really, like I said, it's soil, it's moisture, it's water pushing against and all that sort of stuff. So there's lots of different solutions, both inside and outside, to solve those problems.
As a homeowner, is there a telltale sale or sort of sign out there that this is happening? Is there something? Do I have to wait for a big crack to happen, or or is this, you know, is this something that needs sort of an expert look at it?
If you want an expert to look at, we can come take a look and give you an opinion based on several things we look at inside and outside the house. Stair step cracking and in brick, for example, cinder block foundations.
That's in the grouting, right,
exactly.
Or the mortar?
Yeah, sometimes. And if it's really bad, one I looked at in New Brunswick about a month ago, stair step cracking in a cinder block foundation, both in the grout and vertical straight up, which is really bad. So this homeowner, if you looked at the price to tear down that foundation, jack the house, remove the chimneys, the decks, $15,000 or $30,000, which would you like? It's, you know, that's what you're looking at to fix that stuff.
Yeah, and on the other side, when you look at these types of issues or situations, the biggest thing is there's multiple solutions. It's what's best for that homeowner. And don't get me wrong, we can coordinate whatever for the homeowner, knocking down the foundation walls, doing all that sort of stuff. But we also want to be economical and be smart about it.
But just because I have a crack in my foundation doesn't mean you have to knock my walls down.
No.
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 So it's when you notice something that probably doesn't look right, imagine, just like anything, it's best to get it fixed as soon as you notice the problem.
Yeah, here's a simple example, Dan. If you drop a marble and you got to chase after that and run after that marble before it hits the other side of your house, there's probably some settling. And it's probably settled in one corner and the other side is higher. So with that, what will happen is the structure of the home throughout the home, such as even opening your windows or your door jams or things like that, will be completely off throughout your home and make tough and challenging issues throughout the home. So,
lots of good information today. We're just about out of time. Corey, the coordinates, how do we get a hold of you?
Probably the easiest is through our website, and that is www, of course, Ridgeback, RIDGEBACK, basement, BASEMENT.CA, ridgebackbasement.CA.
And we talked about this last week. Can you do rush jobs, or are you that busy? Do you need to, how long should I expect before I can get my situation looked at?
Typically, we try to connect with all our homeowners within the week. But of course, we do have sometimes those territory challenges. Some homes are in the middle of nowhere that we don't manage that territory on an everyday basis. But anything local in the major cities or the internal outlying areas, we try to connect with them within 3 to 7 days.
So if you've got a wet basement, you've got some mold, or you suspect that you have mold, or maybe a foundation, the best is to just get a hold of Corey or Jared right away, quick, and hopefully you can nip it in the bud, so to speak.
For sure, and what we do is we build a plan with that homeowner based upon what they want to accomplish. Every homeowner's different. Some want to build the man cave. Some want to gain that storage space back, and some want to, just get me a dry basement.
Every situation is different, and we have to lay eyes on it with the homeowner, have them involved so they understand the solutions and the fixes. Some solutions are bigger than others. Sometimes we just need to do the corner of a house. Sometimes we need to do all four sides of the house.
Get it fixed. Gentlemen, I appreciate your time.
Thanks, Dan.
And for you out there listening, we appreciate you joining the program. You have been listening to Ask the Experts on News 95.7.